Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to get started blogging for your SaaS product.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
So basically, I think you and I both get asked a lot. Both you and I have done a lot with blogs and blogging in order to promote our businesses and grow them. And I think that there's a lot of people that are getting into SaaS, that are building a product or service, and that are at the beginning of asking themselves, how can we start promoting this more? And let's launch or start a blog is a very...
It's a common thought.
It's on many people's and businesses' list of things to do. But I think that a lot of people don't quite know how to get started. Not so much on the like which blogging tool to use, but more on the...
Yeah, you use WordPress. Self-hosted.
Yes, there you go.
That's an easy one.
But then what do we write about? Yeah. How do we write? How frequently do we write? How do we get anybody to look at this
writing?
What
about should I start a blog or not?
I love that.
Like when to start.
Let's start with that one. So what's the advice that you would typically give in who should start a blog and when they should start a blog? I think the when is the easier one, but
okay, go for it.
So I think when is as potentially if you're the right type of person, this is the right type of business, even sooner than the moment you think of the business, you should start
business idea.
The business idea, yeah, you should start writing about the thing you're trying to do or write about the industry or the customer or the problem before you even launch the product.
Right. So the only caveat I'll have, which I would say 90%, so 90 plus percent of the people would probably fall in your category for sure, where like the best tactic they can use to start their SaaS business is start blogging.
Yeah.
Like I'll even go that far.
Yeah.
There's a 10% that's like, if there's a better way for you to get early customers or early conversations, you might want to go do that first before you do the blogging, and you might realize you don't need to do the blogging. For example, like if you have access to the customer base because you're part of an association, or you know, if you're a doctor and you're building tools for doctors, well, you know a lot of other doctors, so you probably don't need to blog as much in the beginning because you can already have the conversations. Because the goal in the beginning, if you just have the business idea and that's the phase, is to validate the idea. And the way you do that is by actually talking to prospective future customers, right? I mean, it's just customer development, all that stuff everyone's doing, but it's really just talking to people to see if the idea is any good. And there's ways to do that, right? So what I really loved is that one of our product manager at Kissmetrics, when he left, he started blogging a lot. And he was blogging about, I'm trying to remember, he did a whole download for me. I think it was Bitcoin. Yeah, I think it was Bitcoin. And he's a product manager, so he's like very thorough and like really deep. And I think he put a whole bunch of cards on his wall and did the whole product process just on the whole Bitcoin market, right? Was it Bitcoin? Damn it. Whatever it was, let's just say it was Bitcoin. I don't think it was, but anyways. And what he was doing was he was actually blogging and about it and about what he's going to do. And then he had an opt-in form at the bottom, like, you want to stay up to date on what I'm working on and what I'm doing in this industry here. Right.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 3D printing.
There you go.
And he was able to explain the whole landscape to me, right? But he did all the research, understood that, and then he started blogging after a little bit of understanding. But then along the way, like, people started considering him an expert in 3D printing in like within 2 or 3 months by him just blogging about the fact that he's interested in the space, not even an idea in it.
Yeah.
He figured out that it wasn't interesting to him and there wasn't an opportunity the way he wanted to do it. But man, like the affinity he built, the communications, the relationships, even all the access he had to people just because he was blogging about 3D printing.
Yeah.
So the thing is, that was at a time when like that was something many folks were talking about, right? And it was very timely for him to blog about it. So if you have an idea in an industry that's very timely right now, like on-demand economy, maybe not, but like, you know, and you're going to do something in that space, you could blog about it right now and you would still get attention because it's still being funded and Uber's still interesting, right? So I think you have to think about, is it a timely thing for me to blog about where I'm going to get enough attention where like I can go convert that into email subscribers? And that also means you need enough content right from the beginning, which usually is just talking about the industry. That usually works.
To me, I like that example because it points to something that I care a lot about and advice that I give, which is find a voice that resonates. So the interesting thing about here in this example is that this dude was not like a world authority in 3D printing, and he didn't try to project himself as one, right? But what he did is he did something that was very authentic, but something that a lot of people could associate with, which is, hey, I'm a dude working in tech, I'm a product manager, and I'm wondering, is 3D printing a big thing that I should invest my future career in? So I want to look and analyze the market and understand it better. That's a...
And then you just started blogging about it.
Yes. That's a voice to me that is both authentic, and it resonates because I'd imagine a lot of other people in tech that had nothing to do with 3D printing were hearing about it a lot and wondering about it and thinking, how can I learn more? So now he took them on his journey, and it was a journey they wanted to go on anyways.
I gotta say, if you have a trendy market like that, it is the best tactic I've seen. And he did a brilliant job, I think, doing that and building affinity fast. I think he had hundreds of people on the email list.
Yeah.
They were reading his stuff, and he learned everything he wanted to and decided not to do the whole business in a matter of 3 months. And that's a while, but he was exploring.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and that's a common, I think, that also points to a common mistake, which is a lot of times people, they will start blogging and they will look at their competition, for instance, and say, hey, I want to build a marketing product. I have a marketing SaaS product. Kissmetrics seems to be very successful and writing lots of blog content. HubSpot seems to be successful.
So I should do that too.
Now,
but that's a crowded category.
Oh, I mean,
immediately, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, hey, wait, that's really crowded right now.
Yes. So to me, that means, do you have a voice that stands out? Because if you don't, it's not worth doing at all.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to write content like Kissmetrics on your own blog and be the same, it's not going to help. Even Kissmetrics doesn't write content like HubSpot.
Yeah.
Even Unbounce doesn't write content like Kissmetrics, right? And all these are all marketing tools.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Everyone has a point of view, right?
Yeah.
And like, I really like that.
Because
that doesn't make you not go after a crowded like category, right?
Yes.
It makes you think about it in a thoughtful way.
I think Closeout and my company is a great example of getting into the most crowded place possible.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Yeah, we tried and we got away from it, CRM.
Yeah.
And it's
so crowded.
I agree.
But we had a lot of unfair advantages, and we knew that we had a very strong voice. We knew that we had a very strong point of view, and we knew that we knew a shit ton about sales. So
that other people needed to hear about it and didn't know.
Didn't know. And when we looked at other people's blogs, we thought, no, we can't find any of them that mirrors what we want to do.
You probably didn't do this, but like, did you go write the blog post and then try to understand if other people have written stuff without publishing it?
No.
What I mean is like, I don't mean even that. What I'm saying is you still had a point of view on what kind of content you wanted to create.
Yeah.
And then you saw that didn't exist. Did you write it down at all? I'm just curious. Or it was just like an intuitive. Whatever,
it was very
exercise.
Intuitive at that point. But you know.
Imagine like somebody here, like, because we do that, but we were doing it the same way. Like we would look at marketing and be like, oh, we can write really long, comprehensive things at Kissmetrics, and it'll be a differentiator in the market if all of our content's like that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we did. But now that's the trend, right? Long, deep content.
Yes.
So now doing that is not unique. But in our category at the time when we were doing it, HubSpot's content wasn't up to par for advanced customers.
Yeah.
Right. And so we had an opportunity there.
Yes.
Right now it is, but early on it wasn't. So, but we never quantified it and put it on paper, but I wish we had.
Mm.
That's why I'm kind of harping on this, which is like, I think if we had done that, then we would have had an analysis of why we thought the opportunity was right for us.
Mm.
So my recommendation to people today would be like, try to find examples of the kind of content you want to create and see if you can. That's an easy way without even thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
But once you figure that out, that, oh, I think there's an opportunity, then start writing down what kind of content pieces you think are an opportunity to build a voice.
Yeah.
Right?
So, all right. So the next – so let's say somebody what other things? So we talked about, is it timely and trendy? We talked about, do you have a point of view?
Yeah.
Is there other criteria? Are there certain markets or customers that will not – obviously that will not
– lawyers. I don't think you can do blogging for lawyers unless it's like how to be a better lawyer. But does a lawyer want to know how to be a better lawyer? No, their job is to tell you how to do stuff. So lawyers is the example I use commonly.
Huh.
That's why it just came into my head. I'm like, because like I had to think about this. Because I thought about doctors. I'm like, actually, doctors love content.
Yeah.
Right? They've got new drugs, new methods, new procedures. They even love YouTube, the especially the residents and stuff like that. So doctors, you could do blogs for doctors. You can do content for doctors, no problem.
Yeah.
Lawyers, you'd have to do a lot of like – rules, regulations, updates, and it's not the same. It's not the same as having a voice. That's you can do it. So if you're a if you're doing like a legal product and it's in a niche, right? It's around like class action lawsuits. I hope nobody does this, but software for class action lawsuits. I've had a few, or no, not a few, one at my company. But if you build software for class action lawsuits, right? That's a niche. You can blog about class action lawsuits all day, and all the class action lawsuit lawyers will probably come and read your blog about class action lawsuits, right? That you could do, but that's so nichified that it would work in a niche. But yep. As a generic lawyers, I don't think it's a blog. Yep. That's the kind of content. Do I believe there's content for them?